Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary in doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. Each and every week we are being blessed to have men and women of God that's making a difference in the lives of God's people. You know, as you log on to this program, you'll see a saying that says, help change a life. Oh, you know, we can't do anything apart from God, but we would like to thank our guests each and every week for coming on here and being a part of what we're doing here. We're in for a great time this morning. But before we go any further, we'd just like to make mention of our CEO and president of Granny's Place. This is Granny Place sponsored this program each and every week. So that's Beverly Beasley and her staff over at Granny Place. And we have a website at Granny Place Ministry. Please feel free to go to that website and see what's going on at Granny's Place and be a part of what's going on at Granny's Place. We also like to make mention that we have several other shows that's associated with this Blog Talk Network. On Monday nights, we have My Sister, My Friend, which is hosted by LaShondra Lewis, that's dealing with women issues. They have a great format there. It's very insightful. The women are very eager about sharing what does says the Lord in their life. So I encourage you, when you have an opportunity, every Monday from 8 to 9, to tune in and listen to that show, My Sister, My Friend, hosted by LaShondra Lewis. And we also have another show on Tuesday night called Mojo Talk Radio. Mojo Talk Radio is a show that's dedicated to married couples, the ins and outs of marriage. It's a talk format show that gives us a platform to help navigate us through our marriage life here. Regardless of how long you've been married, it's an opportunity for you to continue to keep your marriage together. So I encourage you to listen to Mojo Talk Radio. Amen. And then also on Wednesday nights, we have the Linda Jordan Ministry called A Kingdom Call, and that's a prayer line ministry. So please feel free to dial in on that. And we are we're calling up our guest right now. I think our guest is on the line right now. So we're going to get him in here in just a moment here. Amen. But
good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Just hold on. You still there? Good morning. I guess he's having a problem with his phone line. He's dropping out, so we're going to allow him to call back here in a few minutes. And also, we were just making mention of the Linda Jordan program that comes on Wednesday night, Linda Jordan Ministry. That's a great woman of God. That's an evangelist, and she do great things here in Dallas, and she do great things in the kingdom. Her last outing was over at Edgewood Living Facility. There's a facility for seniors, an adult living facility. They did a Christmas dinner, I believe, over there last weekend, and the residents of that facility were blessed. She was able to get them a food basket and some clothes and some personal items that they need and some blankets and things and socks. You know, it's very important that our elderly people know that people love them. So the socks was a show of love and the blankets was a show of love and the food pantry was a show of love. So I encourage you to get in touch with Linda Jordan, with the Linda Jordan Ministry. And that ministry comes on this network on Wednesday nights from 9:30 to 10. And then on Friday nights we had a Mojo on Friday nights we have Street Talk, and that's dedicated to our young men and women, and they have a format to voice their opinions of what's going on. And so we ask you to call in and just listen in and see what's on the minds of our young people. Our young people have a lot to say, and we're going to call our guests up again here, and we're going to see, can we bring them in? And you may hear the phone dialing there. And so I want to thank you for tuning into this program. You know, our call-in number is 310-982-4126. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning.
You're on the net. Good morning. Great. Thank you. Thank you. We seem to have a little phone problem right now, but we're going to work those things out.
Okay. I don't know what the problem we have with technology. It's a good thing, but sometimes it can pose headaches.
Well, great, great. Well, thank you for being a guest on our program. You know, you're no stranger to the program. You're my friend. And you're my friend and also my friend in the gospel. You know, we have been knowing each other and God has brought us together, and it's been a blessing. And I'm really excited about the things that God put to your hands to do and how you have that boldness to share with other men and women and to encourage them to be about our Father's business. And as we getting ready to go on with our show, we'd just like you to give us an update on what's been going on with you in the ministry. Introduce yourself and let our listening audience know what's going on.
Well, I'm Elder Michael Flemings, the associate pastor for Zion Chapel Primitive Baptist Church, and I'm also the director for our Zion Chapel Economic Development Corporation. And our church is one of many that is actively engaged in trying to identify the needs within our community and then trying to engage ourselves in working with other ministries and nonprofits to come up with solutions, i.e. programs and services that will enable God's people to migrate from a place of impoverishment to a position where they can better access those opportunities that will enable them to live the life that Christ made available for us through his shed blood.
And, you know, as you were saying, I know you have a passion for what you are doing. At this time, you have been you're involved in something that's very dear to my heart. Will you tell us about what you're involved in right now? And encourage our listening audience to be a part of what you're doing.
Well, you know, there are many things, but one of the things that I believe that you're alluding to that we both are passionate about, and that is our outreach efforts to provide a bridge from nowhere to somewhere for individuals who are transitioning from settings of incarceration, homelessness, and so forth. We have an initiative called Black Men Down, Missing in Action, Missing in Family, Faith, Education, Economic, and Government, and missing because of a system that sometimes will continue to punish, demonize, and alienate persons who have been incarcerated far beyond and long after they have served their time and paid their dues to society. There are many ways in which this particular problem impacts persons who have been incarcerated, but it's more of a problem for people of color, especially African Americans and Latinos, who represent a disproportionate number of persons who are caught up in the correctional system. And it doesn't just affect them. The collateral cost is the impact it has on their families, their children, and their communities at large. And so we're really concerned because we're seeing how it's beginning to undermine the very fabric of the family. And family is the institution that God created through which all his grace and mercy, i.e. his blessings, flow. So I know you're aware that oftentimes when individuals are transitioning back into the community, they're required to have certain things. One, a stable living arrangement. Two, some type of job with income coming in, and et cetera. Now, those are what we call basic necessities of life. Whether you are a formerly incarcerated and convicted person or someone who has been able to navigate around the correctional system, you need a place to stay, and you need a job, and you need a support system, a community of individuals who are concerned about you and who value you. Well, oftentimes our incarcerated individuals are people who came from some of the most impoverished communities, where they were lacking adequate resources and opportunities, and oftentimes had families who were in themselves facing tremendous challenges and struggling just to make ends meet from day to day. So when over 70% of the people who are coming back from places of incarceration are going into the communities who are least prepared and have the least resources to assist them, that exacerbates the problem, okay? And it results in about 70% or more of those individuals within 18 months or more returning to prison. We call it recidivism, where they reoffend or either suffer a technical violation, not having a job, can't pay your fees, and so forth, or they commit a new crime out of some attempt to gain access to the resources they need to just survive. And so that's unfortunate. And it creates a cycle of degradation and leads to generational curses. And we know that that's not what God called for. So one of the things that we're working on right now that's really important, and it's called a city countywide initiative, but the real name is called BAN, B-A-N, the Box Movement. And it's something that has already taken place, I think, in about 14 states and about 31 or more cities. And BAN the Box is an initiative, a grassroots initiative, to address the question on applications. Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Now, that question seems innocent and righteous in itself, but oftentimes it is used in a way that discriminates against persons who have been incarcerated. Because if you answer yes, all too often, you don't get a job interview. All too often, you don't get the apartment that you're applying for. It's even asked on questionnaires for car insurance and other things. And so if you are trying to restructure and bring about restoration of your life as you want to become a contributing member and citizen of society, but that question becomes an impediment, a barrier that prevents you from accessing the basic necessities of life, no wonder and no surprise that people find themselves in dire and desperate situations once again and commit desperate acts just to try to make ends meet and to survive. So we believe that that is something that is worth addressing. It's the first step toward doing the right thing for people who have recognized the mistakes they made and the choices and the consequences that has put them in a bad place and their family members. Now they're wanting to do the right thing, and they need help. And they need help in getting housing, and they need help in getting a job. And we can help them by looking at this, the impact of what, and I mean a positive impact, that BAN the Box can do. In those cities and states where they pass either legislation or local ordinances to remove that question during the initial stages of the hiring process, there has been a significant increase in not only the number of formerly incarcerated and convicted persons getting a job interview, but more importantly, getting the job in itself. Now, let me share something with you. All felony convictions are not the same. But unfortunately, when we hear the word felon, for some of us, we conjure up the most heinous of crimes. We envision the most dangerous and a person, and then we become somewhat reluctant out of fear of hiring that person. We do not distinguish or differentiate between the individual and the crimes that have been committed. So in those cities where that ordinance has been passed, and one city in particular I'm especially interested in because it's the only city in Texas up to this point, and that's Austin, Texas, where it has been successful. they found that when you restrict the asking of the question to the point later in the interview, what I mean by that is that if a person's coming in, right, the person has a much better chance of presenting himself and his qualifications for the job without being overly of the interviewer being overly biased early on because of that question that has been answered. Yes, I have a felony conviction. So now you have a chance to present yourself, present your qualifications, establish some type of rapport with the interviewer, and build on your skills. Now, when the employer has reached the point of the interview where they're actually considering offering you the job, they can now do a background check, okay, and make a determination on hiring you based on the conviction and its relationship to the job that you're hiring. For instance, let's say you have a minor possession charge. Now, in this possession charge, there is no violence. Okay, there has not been any use or conviction related with weapons charge and so forth. And you're applying for a job in a warehouse doing shipping and receiving. What correlation is there between a possession charge and a warehouse charge? So now you've been restricted. The employer is restricted from asking the question early in the interview, which gives you a chance to talk to the interviewer, to put forth your best foot, to present your work history and your strengths as it relates to the job and the job requirements. Okay? And now that the employer is ready to offer you the job, he can now do a background check and can only deny you the job as it relates to the conviction and the job. For instance, when can he deny you the job? Well, I'm applying for a job as a bank teller or someone who is going to be handling money, and my conviction is in embezzlement and bank fraud. Well, there's a direct correlation now between the trust and integrity that I have displayed and the convictions related to that and the job that requires someone who has shown to be faithful in the financial transactions. And even in those situations, there may be mitigating circumstances that says, well, that crime occurred 15 or 20 years ago, and I have since then had a track record that shows that I am a person of integrity because I've had opportunities to present to people that I no longer am the person who committed that crime, that there has been some true repentance and so forth. So we recognize that there are so many potential benefits, not only for the person, but all of the research shows us that the collateral effect upon the family, and particularly our children, is diminished, it's minimized, when the person who's transitioning back can begin to gainfully become employed, get stable housing, begin to attain the resources to uplift themselves, and then become a active contributing partner in the family. Out of wedlock, pregnancy goes down for those children. Incarceration by commission of a crime goes down for those individuals. Their participation and success in school goes up. Okay? So there's a correlation that says when individuals are able to get engaged in the community, obtain jobs and housing, there is a upward movement, not only for them, but for their children and families and the community that's associated with them. And the inverse of that is when they can't, then there's a downward movement in family, education, and self-determination in those communities. So we're moving right now, and we just met yesterday with a group of organizations, and we're calling ourselves the Community Partner Organizations. And we're meeting to address how and who do we need to additionally recruit to begin to implement this grassroots effort to ban the box. And it'll include things like members identifying and utilizing their church and faith network to begin to gather signs and petitions of individuals who recognize that the importance of getting involved and how you can help. It's a low-cost initiative, which means it doesn't require a whole lot of money. It requires a lot of heart and love for the people of God. And when we get these petitions signed and so forth, we can then begin to bring those petitions together, and then we can present them to organizations like Mothers Against Teen Violence, who's fighting and advocating for drug policy and law reforms. We can get them to organizations like Grassroots Leadership in Austin, Texas, who are preparing for the 2015 legislative session, as they too also advocate changes in state laws and things that tend to criminalize activities that unduly impact certain segments of our population and so forth. So that is a major thing right now, and it's something that we're going to be looking to partner with you, Joel, and other organizations, because even small churches and small nonprofits that have maybe 50 or less people can be significantly involved in this, because your signature on a petition can be joined with signatures from hundreds of churches, even thousands of churches, which means that we can garnish 30, 40, 50, or 60,000 signatures to let our officials and our politicians know that we're concerned about this group, and they are part of God's kingdom, and they're important people to us, and we're going to stand in the gap for them, and we're going to seek and advocate for justice and righteousness for those who are the least in our eyes, but the greatest in the eyes of God.
And you know, Mike, that is so true, though, bro. Well, as you were sharing that there, I know that as men are trying to reestablish themselves in the community, that there's a lot of hindrance and a lot of reservations on will they really do the right thing. You know, as they remove those application points, I'm saying points on the application, the men that are filling it out and the women have a responsibility to do the things which they are assigned to do on those jobs, sir. The men and women that are applying for these particular jobs, are they having a opportunity to re-educate themselves with your group and the organization that you're a part of? Or do we just take them at face value? What proof do we have that these men, I'm just playing devil advocate, what proof do we have that these men and women are going to do the right thing?
We have a holistic approach because we recognize that it's one thing to remove barriers, those obstacles that prevent people from gaining access to what's available. It's another thing to prepare people to take advantage and to appropriately utilize it. So we have what we call the community initiative, which involves three primary players. It involves the Dallas County Community College District. It involves the Texas Workforce Commission, and it involves local employers. And what we're doing is creating a network and a programs that will enable people to be able to get the education. It requires some type of a degree, an associate degree, or a four-year degree, or if it requires gaining technical expertise, such as in construction, engineering, or healthcare, then we're going to have a system where individuals can get involved in and gain access to the tools and resources that will help them to acquire not only the knowledge, but the understanding and the ability to utilize a continuum of services and resources. We know oftentimes that we say our communities are lacking the resources, but oftentimes those individuals have experienced breakdowns early in their lives, so they never quite acquired what we call the job readiness skills. So they don't necessarily understand some of the things that are important that employers are looking for, not just to get hired, but to stay employed. Communication skills, problem-solving skills, the importance of time and attendance, and so forth. So we're going to have a whole array of services that we're developing. That's why we're trying to pull together all these organizations who are doing wonderful work out there, but they're doing it isolated from one another and disconnected. So now we're wanting the left hand to talk to the right hand and actually bring the parts of the body together so that we can begin to look at the holistic need of the individual and to bring about what we call true what? Empowerment. And empowerment means to allow the individuals to acquire the knowledge and the ability so instead of us feeding them, they can begin to create opportunities to feed themselves and then become independent and can stand on their own or stand on the truth of the rock of Jesus Christ so that now they can begin to pass it on to someone else.
And that's great. That's great. Now, as we was talking about this on this line here, now what programs and agencies are available for these men to be restored after reincarceration? Because as they get out, they need to kind of be reestablished in the community. Now, what programs are you working with to help our men to be embedded into the communities, so to speak?
Well, there are several. most of these are programs have been around for years, and we just don't know about them.
Yes, they have. And I want you to discuss that. Yeah, and it's so right, because a lot of times people don't realize that these programs have been available for uncle or cousin that's getting out, and you don't have a place for them to stay. But you know organizations and agencies that can support what they're doing and encourage those men to be citizens.
One is programs such as yours. You know, people don't understand that Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry, which is under your auspices of Free on Inside, provides support and activities where individuals can acquire some of the things they need. They can receive mentorship and so forth, and can be referred to programs. So that's one. Another one is the ARMS ministry, okay, which is operated by Golden Gate Baptist Church over in Oak Cliff area in what we call the bottom area. Okay?
Yes.
And they've been around for years, and they provide an array of services. Man, they have not only transitional housing, they also have permanent housing for individuals. They have drug treatment and recovery programs and so forth that are made available. And it's ran by a gentleman by the name of Obi Bussey. And it's an outstanding program. Okay, and it's been around, I know, for at least 20 years or more. Okay, and so that is one program that we're trying to make sure that people are aware of and that they can get opportunities to extend their services beyond their current territory simply by making people aware that when you're looking for model programs or you're talking about what can we create, well, sometimes we don't have to recreate the wheel. We just need to do a better job of understanding and recognizing where things are already being done and connect those and give them the exposure that they need. So that's one. Another program is Grace Place Properties, which is located on the edge of Dallas and Duncanville over near the I-20 and Camp Wisdom area. And Grace Place Properties is a transitional housing program, and it's headed up by two gentlemen, Chuck Adair and Steck. And they are intricately involved with the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. They're there. They are actually inside the prison each month with a program that begins to prepare people to identify and prepare individuals who are going to be released to be able to transition. And so they provide a bridge because they don't just say, we got a program. They actually are there identifying people in prison, doing preparatory work, and actually transport people from prison to Grace Place Properties, apartment program. And then in their apartment program, they actually work on engaging them into employment opportunities. They provide ongoing educational and rehabilitation activities and programs. They have a program called Regeneration, and because the emphasis is on developing a intimate relationship and walk with Jesus Christ, because they like I recognize that there are many, many ways to bring about behavior modification, but there's only one way to bring about true transformation, and that's through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So their program is a Christian-based program, unabashedly bold and proclaiming Jesus, having activities to engage clients and participants that brings about a regeneration to be a new creature in Christ. Wonderful results they're having over there.
Amen. That's a great. Hey, before you go any further here, I'd just like to give our call-out number here, so if anyone like that's listening to the program can call in and voice their opinion. We have several callers on the line, but they choose just to listen to what you had to say. You got some good, you're sharing us some good information with us, Minister Fleming. So God bless you. That call-in number is 310-982-4126. Again, you too can call into the show and give your comments or voice your opinion regarding the topic that we're discussing, Black Man Down. We're speaking with Minister Elder Michael Fleming's Citywide Ministry, The Update. He's giving us an update on what's going on. That number again is 310-982-4126. Now, Minister Fleming, man, this is a great topic here, and I'm so glad that you're able to share this with us. If someone would like to get in touch with you before we go any further, because you gave us a lot of information, what's the contact number? So someone can say, hey, I want to be able to be a part of, I need some information regarding some stuff that you shared.
Okay, they can reach me at our office, which is 972-218-9789, or through my mobile number, which is 214-900-4179. Again, that's the office, 972-218-9789. On my mobile, which is 214-900-4179.
Amen, amen. We thank you for the information. Now, as we were sharing some information, this is a very hot topic, and it's very dear to me, saying Black Man Down. You know, as a society and as a race of people, man, we seem to have everything against us, but yet we know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are obligated to help one another. And I thank you for what you're doing, because you're giving us some information we can use.
Okay. We're doing a new initiative to address some of the issues for formerly incarcerated persons and convicted persons. And it's in the Oak Cliff area. Really, it's South Oak Cliff, because it's located in the area near Beckley and Illinois. And there's a pastor that I work with, Pastor Ron Carlson, who heads up the Duncanville Church of Christ. You know, our initiative is called Black Men Down, Missing in Action. But it's a misnomer. And when I say misnomer, I'm saying the words do not fully express what the program is about. Okay? And we've talked about that, because it serves not just black men, but also Latinos and other ethnic groups who are called up, unfortunately, in a correctional system sometimes that will chew and spit you out. And so, that, you know, we know that the Oak Cliff area is rapidly changing, especially as we get to South and West Oak Cliff, because of a rising Latino presence. And they, too, like African-American men, are oftentimes disproportionately represented in our correctional system, and they experience the same tragic outcomes that African-American males do when they're trying to transition back in the community. So I've been working with Ron Carlson, Pastor Carlson, and the Duncanville Church of Christ, and they recently purchased an old Episcopal church on the Beckley from the Episcopal Diocese of Dallas. And we're converting that church into an event center that will be able to provide viable services to the Latino community, and some of the income or revenue that's generated or earned from the celebratory activities that the Hispanic community continues to have as they recognize and celebrate various rites of passages by their children and their youth, will go toward funding employment and other kinds of educational and training activities in the center for formerly incarcerated and convicted persons. Right? And that operation is being called Next Ministerial Next Generation. And the center itself is called Los Gallos. So we're really excited. Right now, we've already started on Sunday nights, Sunday evenings from 4 to 5:30. We're doing support and recovery groups for people who are suffering from various kinds of hurts, habits, and hang-ups that somehow and in some way impacts the ability to actually fully engage and utilize their social support network, i.e. family, employment, and so forth. So that's important. And then it's followed by a Bible study. It is the beginning of a whole array of services that will be offered to the residents that live in that area so that we can help create a vibrant environment. And one of the key things we're doing here is that Pastor Carlson and the members of their church have recognized that we can't go into areas that are underserved, okay, and impoverished and take people out and bring them somewhere to train and educate and so forth and then send them back to an area that lacks the resources they need to work with. So they're beginning to see the importance of investing not only in the person, but investing in the area that the person came from to revitalize their neighborhood. Matter of fact, they call that program, just like they do with Grace Place properties, and these are connected, it's called the Nehemiah Project. And we know that Nehemiah left his place of comfort in Susa, in the king's palace, to go back to Jerusalem because he heard that the people were suffering because there was no wall around the city to protect them, and they were impoverished. And that Sanballat and the Arabians and so forth and Tobias were coming in and taking and plundering and looting the people at their will. And so he gave up to come back to empower the people by helping them develop what they needed in the city so that they could protect and provide for themselves. And so that's what Ministerial Next Generation, Los Gallos, is about. That's what Grace Place Properties is all about. It's about the Nehemiah Project, that you not only provide, but you teach and empower and enable so that these programs can help people to begin to recreate and build up their neighborhoods. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that, in the book of Isaiah, it says that when we take care of the orphans and the widows and free the oppressed and fight for justice, our righteousness will go before us. God will be our rear guard. He says, and we will restore the old waste places and we'll be called repairers of the breach and builders of the cities and walls. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to invest. Now, we also have something else. At our church and at our location in Lancaster, Texas, in our areas, we don't have very many support and recovery groups, not only for individuals who are transitioning back from incarceration, but to provide support and advocacy for the family members of incarcerated persons. Well, 2 weeks ago, we started one. We started our Regeneration Christ-Centered Support Program on Thursday nights from 7 to 8:30 for formerly incarcerated persons, individuals who are suffering from hurts, habits, and hang-ups, various addictions, codependency, etc. But also, it's a family support program. Because so many times when people are suffering from some type of hurt, habit, or hang-up, they may not be ready yet. They may not be open for treatment and recovery at that time. But we need to provide support to the family members and help them understand what they can do to discontinue enabling and supporting the dysfunctional behavior. And at the same time, the things that they can do to begin to create an environment that will make it conducive for that individual who's broken to begin to move toward a place where he can be made whole and have healing through the powerful words of Jesus Christ, who is the author and the speaker of life. Another place is SkillQuest. SkillQuest is an organization that works closely with Cedar Valley Community College and the Texas Workforce Commission. And they provide skill training and services for quality employers. Okay, and they do it in Dallas and Collin County. And their mission and I love it, is to clear a path for low to moderate income adults who live in Dallas and Collin County to get jobs paying a family a living wage and benefit, and that has a career path. Okay. Now, their services for the people who qualify are free. Okay. They can even assist individuals in getting further what we call post-secondary education, i.e. college, and technical training and education and so forth. Okay. And so what they do is they collaborate with some of the local employers in our area to provide what employers are looking for, a more highly skilled workforce that's ready to work. So they do all the recruiting, training, and developing of underemployed or unemployed people, and they work with the college to get them college ready. Okay, they assist people to attain the qualifications. Now you must have a high school degree or a GED, and there again is where we come in, because a lot of times people don't have basic educational credentials to be able to take advantage of programs like this. So at Zion Chapel and through Grace Place Properties, we do GED preparation and education at anywhere from nominal to no cost. It's what we call the ability to pay, because you do have GED programs. But if you're not school age, you dropped out of school, because you were pregnant or something like that, you can't access GED to the Dallas Independent School District or your independent school district in Lancaster or wherever. You have to pay someone or pay an organization, and that can range anywhere from as much as $60 an hour or more. So we're forming a network to provide that GED training and preparation at a significantly lower cost, and in some instances, it can be augmented or subsidized by companies and through the Texas Workforce Commission for those individuals who qualify. So those are some of the things we're trying to do.
That is so true. That is so true, because my time and my dealing with the Texas Workforce Commission, that they will get your job ready through other organizations, other ministries and churches like what you're sharing and who you're a part of. They also give you clothes also over there. They get you,
exactly.
Prepare you for interviews and things. So are you really saying something there? And it's good for people to know that these things are available. And they'll a very small cost or no cost at all, I'm going to put it that way. Now, Minister Flemings, now, as we was talking earlier, now you have another program that you're a part of. We want to share as much of the information we can, because we want our listening audience to be empowered and impacted and to go out and make a difference in the lives of God's people. That's the reason we put together this program, being free on the inside. That freedom comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, you were saying some things a while ago about the men, they have a desire to want to do the right thing once they out of jail and want to get back into the community and to society. You know, I have men that I meet at the jail, at the street ministry. Those are some of the same guys that I ministered to in jail. And they get out and they seeking to have a relationship with God. And I encourage them to be a part of program, be a part of ministry that's training them, that's housing them, that's educating them. You know, don't just get out and just go by what you want, you know, do your own thing, but be involved in something, be involved in another ministry. I had this young man the other day that I referred to down to Dallas Life Foundation. He said he needed a place to stay, and I do mentoring down there. So I gave him some information and contact number, and I said, now it's up to you to use this number. It's up to you to go, you know, to make the contact. And I called down and told him, hey, I always let people know in advance. And sure enough, he called down there. He was able to get in the Life Foundation, get into one of their programs down there. And so what you're doing, it's making a difference in the lives of men and women. And I'm saying that because if we have information that we can share with people that are less fortunate, it makes a difference in their lives. You never know the hearts that are being touched by what you're sharing today. how your church have a training program and how your churches have a drug and alcohol program that's embedded over there. How your church have a wellness program. All those things make up the kingdom. Makes up the foundation of our Christian walk. Now, as we're getting close to the end of our show right here, tell us about another initiative that you're a part of that I want you to share with our listening audience about the opportunities over at the college for a training facility, but they need transportation. Share that with us.
Well, the Dallas County Community College District has been working with not only the Texas Workforce Commission, but with local employers, okay? And they're trying to address the fact that there are some jobs available, good-paying jobs, and there are also educational opportunities being made available through a grant initiative that the school has, but they have encountered problems with people being able to access available opportunities. And they looked at some of the problems or the barriers that causes that inability to access. And there were like three things. One was simply the fact that people don't know about them. Okay? Right? And the second one was the lack of child care that prevents many individuals, especially women, from being able to get education or get employment. And the third one was the lack of access to public transportation. And so what the Dallas County Community College District and the employers and the Workforce Commission is doing is looking at how or what is the feasibility of assessing or evaluating the potential use of faith-based and community nonprofit providing transportation services. For instance, many churches and community ministries, faith-based ministries and so forth, have vans that they use to transport their constituents or their members. So what we're doing is trying to identify all those organizations that we can in those areas and to determine how many vans or vehicles you have for transportation. When are they being used? More importantly, when are they not being used? What are some of the liability and cost issues and factors for those who would be interested in possibly forming an umbrella by which entities, i.e. maybe the school, college district, employers, or the Workforce Commission, can now POS, it's called purchase a service, from faith-based and nonprofits, as opposed from a for-profit transportation company. Shuttle services. Who can provide shuttle services from strategically located places to a centralized hub? And a hub being those places where DART comes. Like, for instance, Cedar Valley. DART comes to the Cedar Valley College campus. All right? Okay, that's in Lancaster. But all too often, the people in Lancaster are near areas, near cities, don't have the transportation to get to Cedar Valley to access DART. So what if we can devise this for organizations in the community who we can purchase those transportation services, on some kind of limited basis that works? And people say, well, how can we do that? I said, well, I don't know. Ideal is to bring these organizations together and bring all the mind of Christ in one place, and let us begin to actually sit down and try to envision how this can be done. Because there may be a way. The word feasibility means let's assess it and see whether, one, it's worth doing, and two, whether it can be done given our resources based on cost, time, and so forth. And so we're excited about that.
That's some good stuff there, Mike. And you know what? And I know it's workable. We got the phone line that's lit up here now. We're going to bring in our co-host, and he's going to ask you, just make his comments on what you shared with us this morning. Good morning, Mr. Daniel. You're on the net.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Lewis?
I'm doing great. We have our guest on the line, Elder Michael Flemings. He's giving us an update on his citywide ministry, and especially with our program saying Black Man Down.
Yeah, okay. I got a question I want to ask.
Go right ahead, brother.
Okay, Elder Fleming, in the respect of all these new plans that President Obama is trying to put back in effect with bringing all the immigrants in, and then on the day he had this program about open up Cuba's borderline, you know. So what we're saying now, there's going to be a lot of people coming in. It's going to be a lot of you know, that's a lot of people that's over in Cuba that they holding hostages and also they prisoners, you know. And so what I'm saying, when they bring all these people over here, what's going to happen to some of these programs and other sort of things that they already got in effect? Are they going to expand them? Are they going to adopt to them? Are they going to, you know, what's going to happen?
Well, you're talking about a situation that goes far beyond what we call the local community resources ability to impact. This is not something new. You know, we had what we call the Cuban crisis in the early 70s when Fidel Castro was in office, and he opened up his door to the prisons and so forth and allowed them to leave. And many of them, you know, died in passage trying to cross those open waters in here, but a lot of them wound up here. And it placed an undue burden upon our system in trying to accommodate. So here's one thing I'm trying to say is that if that happens, and I'm not necessarily sure that it's going to happen, okay? But if it happens, then there will be contingency plans that will be put into place because they learned from what happened previously, okay? And there will be what we call intake, screening, and assessment points that will determine who and who cannot, just like we do, and even though it may, some people may think it's broken, the same way we do with immigration to some extent now, is that, you know, we do our best to try to set up entry points so that there's some way to identify and assess who should and who shouldn't come. To be able to weed out those individuals who we think have excessive potential to do harm and to do damage. You know, when you start talking about issues like this, you know, it's so broad that you can't come up with a perfect way to address it. Okay? But I can assure you that they will not open the borders in such a way that it allows wholesale immigration or migration into this country and put undue burdens on a system that may not be able to accommodate such an excessive demand.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true. We learned from our mistakes many years ago, and that as the Cuban government allows some of the refugees and the unwanted to make that transition over to the United States, and we end up with a lot of criminal activity and a lot of other things. A lot of good people, but also a lot of bad people. And as you stressed earlier, checkpoint should be established where we don't have to do that. Our immigration services should be aware of what's going on. But yet these things do happen. So, Brother Daniel, thank you. That's a very valid point, a good comment, good question that was asked. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Fleming, we're getting ready to wind down this program. Now, you're getting ready to do something today over at your church, Zion Chapel. This is the season of giving. What is your church doing at this time? So our listening audience know that you're heavily involved in ministry.
Well, our church is involved in a collective effort in the Lancaster area. It's spearheaded by the Lancaster Outreach Center, and it works in conjunction with the city as well as with LIMA, which is the Lancaster Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance. And so we have this annual event called Christmas Shop, and it's aimed at providing a Christmas opportunity and celebration for at least 200 or more families who are significantly below what we call the national poverty level. Okay? And so for a small copay, for like 20, I think it's, I want to quote it correctly, but I think for like 20% of the cost, okay, families can purchase wonderful Christmas gifts and toys for their children, and at the same time get baskets of groceries and so forth for the holidays. And it has been a resounding success in the turnout, and it bring and not just for the families who are able to have a Merry Christmas as they recognize the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, but it's been a resounding success in how it brings together people of different faiths and denominations for the common cause of God and edifying and serving His people. Because Scripture tells us when we, the servants of God, give and give not out of obligation and not begrudgingly, but as we determine in our hearts, we begin to bless people. And it tells us that thanksgiving goes up to God. So we're all excited about this. It's usually a two-day event because on the Friday, we're preparing the fellowship hall at the United Methodist Church in Lancaster, which is off of North Dallas Avenue in the main area, Main Street area. And it's a huge hall, and it's lined with toys and food and so forth. And so on Fridays, we have volunteers who are actually setting up and packaging. And then this morning, starting at 9, where I'm getting ready to go, there'll be the actual distribution when families come in with their children and they're actually shopping and the kids are picking out items and receiving their groceries and then helping them to take them to the cars and so forth. And it's just this warmth and sense of well-being that comes from understanding the joy of giving to those who have a lease. And so that's yesterday. Amen. And today.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. Keep up the good work. Our program is about to come to an end. We want to thank you for being a guest on the program. We want to thank you for the information that you shared. We know that someone is going to be blessed. I like to continue saying the news we could use. And you got some information that's going to make a difference in someone's life. Now, as we get ready to go off this program, we thank you again. We'll ask you to come back again and keep us abreast of what's going on. And you've been a great guest and looking forward to talking with you at a later date.
All right, my brother, I appreciate it, as always, being involved with a ministry and a man who has a heart like Jesus Christ and wants his people not to be destroyed for the lack of knowledge, but bringing exposure to the community about the available resources that are out there and to put a spotlight on the people who are ministering under God's kingdom. Thank you.
God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a great guest that we had, several Elder Flemings, that gave us a lot of information there. Amen. Brother Daniel, there, as we get ready to wind down this program, thank you for continuing to be a co-host of this program. Brother Daniel, you still there? I think we may have lost Brother Daniel there for a minute, but thank you, Brother Daniel. In case if you're still on there, hey, you have been listening to Free on the Inside.
I'm still here.
We pray that
you're still here.
Okay, great, Brother Daniel. Great. Hey, man, thank you for being a co-host of the program, brother. And you know what?
Yeah,
well,
you're welcome.
What
you're
it
welcome.
Is without you, you know, and you know, I
yeah,
guess
we have a lot of information with him, don't you?
Yeah, I would guess each and every week have a lot of information. Man. And we pray this information is being used and applied in people's lives, man. And what the program's all about, being free on the inside. That freedom that comes
Amen.
From God, that freedom to do the things that God put to your hands to do. So, Brother Daniel, as we come up on this Christmas season, you know, we know that Jesus is a reason for the season. But what is your take on this here? Man? Give us a reason to be thankful.
Yeah, I just be thankful that you're still breathing, you know, alive today to see another year. And basically, that's what drives me every year. You know.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know what? As we get ready, you know, next weekend we're getting close to our New Year's weekend show. We're looking forward to having you to continue to be a host for the upcoming year. Looking forward to how God is blessing us with the different guests, man, and all the information. Man, my little cup running over, man, with all the people that have been on this program for the last few years, man. Can you imagine all the information that have been shared with a listening audience?
Amen. Yeah, we had a lot of people on the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of informative information, a lot of progressive information, and a lot of stuff people use better than last.
Yeah, and it's so true. And we're looking forward to continuing that format next year. And, you know, we're going to do a little some things different that God laid on our heart, but we're going to continue to do what we started to do. And what our CEO, Beverly Beasley, has started in this program. You know, it's going to be 5 years, man, coming up here next year on this program. So I want to thank Beverly Beasley for that vision, for her support as we've been doing this show. And not only her support, but as she have established other shows that's on this network. We have my sister, my friend, that's on Monday night. We have Mojo Talk Ministry, which is a husband and wife ministry team, that's on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Linda Jordan Ministries on Wednesday night. And then on Friday nights, we have Street Talk. And so we have our whole week is filled up with ministries, brother. So I want to encourage you to listen in on some of our shows and be encouraged about what's going on, especially the husband and wife talk show here. That's very informative, man. That's some good stuff come out of that show dealing with married couples. Now, mm-hmm. Brother Daniel, you've been listening to this show for quite a while. What show has made a difference in your life as you listen to the show? You said, man, that was a great show. I really enjoyed one segment of the show. You give me your take and then I give you mine.
Well, this is about one or two of them. Oh, okay. Well, a lot about the people of the kids that were held hostages of these slave trade kids. I didn't know that all that was going on. And I think we had a poet on there, a young poet, told us about how he could turn into a producer. I remember that one. And,
yeah, those were some two great shows.
Yeah, I had a couple of people on. I had a ex-football coach on. I had a football coach on. I had a play producer by the name of Miss Marion Coleman. I had her on there. We had a lot of people on there, you know.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And that's something we might go back over on our show for the New Year's, man, just the best of, you know, because I may make up something where you can hear little short clips of the best of show. Hey, Brother Daniel, we're about ready to get out of here, man. Thank you, thank you. And my show, I'm going to show the things that I really was blessed on was a show I did with a young man overseas called, he was Pastor Joseph. Out of Kenya, South
uh-huh.
Africa, how he was telling me how the men and women were living in rural areas and how they had dirt floors and how they were yearning for the gospel. And you know, that touched
Ooh.
My heart. And then another young lady, as you were saying, that the lady was she was rescuing abandoned and abused kids in the Philippines and how they were living in the graveyard and in abandoned crypts, you know, and mausoleum. And it tripped me out, man, to know that people are living like that in today's time, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I said, wow, man, that's awesome, man. And God allowed us to hear that and also be a part of a hip changing people's life, man. None of that, we know how to pray now. We know how to pray.
Amen. Yeah,
Brother Daniel,
pray.
We got to get out of here, man. We got to get out of here. Thank you once again. We're going to close out with a prayer, and we're going to continue to keep God front and center in everything that we do. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for another day. Dear Lord, we thank you for the guest that came on with so much information. Dear Lord, Minister Michael Fleming, dear Lord, how he was talking about our young men that's re-entering society after being incarcerated, how he's a part of a program saying black man down. Dear Lord, we realize that not only the black man is down, but society is down. Dear Lord, give us the wisdom. Give us the ingenuity to help change lives, the Lord, as you came into our life, the Lord. We pray that you enter these men and women's lives and you change their lives, dear Lord, by something that was said and done through the ministry, dear Lord. How someone can tell them about a program, how someone can encourage them to be more than what they could be in society, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you for our co-host, Brother Daniel. We thank you for our listening audience. Dear Lord, we pray that everything be done decent and order. We pray, dear Lord, that you continue to bless the way you see fit. We pray these in the mighty name of Jesus, which is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all enjoy your day. God bless you.
Look forward to
talking with each and every one of you next week. Amen. God bless you.
God bless.